Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
Really, recording is the name of the game. Talking of which, I've got a 32-bit float Zoom arriving today. I'm selling my H5, my Zoom H5, and I really like my Zoom H2N, and this is an upgrade to the H2N, and it's got 32-bit float in it, which, from what I read, seems to suggest that it never fails to record the right level. So you can do it in post and it doesn't matter. So you don't have a gain knob anymore. You just use it and it works. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it's real black magic. It records, if you will, the whole spectrum from the very, very quietest to the very, very loudest. And the very loudest will not peak because you've got 32-bit. Mm. And yeah, it's just incredible. And then it's a bit like a raw photograph. You record everything and you work on it later. It's amazing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
More voodoo black magic.
But I do like my H2N. I thought I think that's a great little machine. It sits on my desk and looks at me and it's great.
Now, you see, the problem is, Ted, you and I gossip, and then we realise we're meant to be doing a podcast, and we never quite when we've stopped gossiping and started the podcast. So Ted's just been telling me all about his new Zoom recorders, and I've been pretending to be interested. We've started, Ted. Do the housekeeping.
All right, then. OK, hello, everyone. Welcome to Whatever Works. It's show 223, and it's the 25th of March in 2025. Hello, Aidan.
Hello, Ted. You stumbled over the year there. I do that. I find the older I get, the harder it is to remember what year it is, never mind what day of the week it is.
That's true enough. Whateverworks.works is our website. Let's do the furniture here. The MeWe group is where we try and encourage you to come and tell us whatever works in your life, and we scoop up the good bits for the show. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan, and TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me. Anyway, the most important thing is, last time we recorded, you had a real back problem. What's the latest?
Oh, that's very kind of you to say. It's still there. I think I'm not quite sure yet whether it's something that's going to pass or something that's going to become a more serious issue. It's still there. It's still niggling. I'm still seeing a physiotherapist. I've had an MRI scan, the results of which I'm waiting for any day now, I hope. I have a specialist appointment in a couple of weeks to go through said MRI results. Thank goodness I took out the private health insurance that we've talked about on the show. It's paying dividends and allowing me to go through this quite a bit quicker than I might otherwise have done. But yeah, still in pain. I'm back to day-to-day life. I'm getting on with things now, but I've just got that constant niggle that if I just happen to bend down wrongly or try to pick something up in the wrong way or twist or miss my footing, it's going to go ping and happen again. So I'm living in a constant state of fear. Yeah. But the long-term plan is, if once the physio deems me safe enough to, I'm already in touch with the lady who runs Pilates, and I'm going to start with a one-on-one session with her and possibly do a few one-on-one Pilates sessions to start strengthening my back and my core for going forward. So, yes, thank you for asking, Ted. It's sort of touch and go at the moment. Luckily, more go than touch. Sorry.
Not just me. It was our lovely well-wishers in MeWe land as well who were asking and concerned about you on the last show.
Most kind of them. Thank you very much. Yeah, I plod on, but, you know, it's called getting old, isn't it, Ted? It happens. Things drop off and not work so well, and, you know, you just have to get on with
Or not work at all.
Yes, I mean, you were just telling me off air before we started, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't know, I don't know how many people listening knew, that you had a mini accident with your bike 6 months ago. Not actually riding it, apparently it fell on you, and you're now having knee troubles. Do you want to tell us what's going on there?
Well, that's it, really. That's the story. It accidentally fell on me in the garage, and it landed on my left leg, and I thought nothing of it, really. I just kind of picked it up and carried on. It's quite heavy, even though it's only a scooter. I carried on. And then about, I don't know, a week later, I started getting niggles in my left knee. And I thought, I didn't put the two and two together, frankly. But ever since then, it's been kind of just a bit crunchy and gritty. And I think probably at some point, if it gets any worse, I'll go and see the some medic or other and just point it out. But it doesn't affect my day-to-day life, really.
Well, I wish you well as well, Ted.
How kind you are to say so.
Let's hope we can both keep going. Here, listen, I've got to tell you something. Last week, I don't remember what the reason was now, but I had cause to put my mother onto the whateverworks.works website, which I do hope all our listeners know well. My mother's an elderly lady. I take care of letting her hear the show through, basically, I dump it in Dropbox because she knows how to just click on the MP3 file and listen to it that way, which is easier for her. So she doesn't usually, she's not usually in the MeWe Manor or living in whateverworks land. She was very, very taken, Ted, with your episode headings. She hadn't realised the daft headings and descriptions that you give to the shows every fortnight. And I must echo my mother's sentiment in saying they're very imaginative. I love the way that you take the themes that we've discussed and write a string of complete and utter nonsense, which is always fun to read and always fun to choose emojis to signal to. Thank you. My mother also wanted to say she was very impressed with your imaginative headings and descriptions of the madness of whatever works. So keep it up, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Hazel. Hello, Hazel. Our number one listener. My favourite one was Ultrasonic Orgasmatron.
Here, I have to tell you, actually, I was about to say my mum's possibly our oldest listener as well, which could be an accolade for her. It was lovely. I took her to an appointment recently, and the doctor, and she said, I'm on a lot of medication. The doctor looked at the medication and said, well, you're not actually on that much medication compared to your peers. You're doing very well compared to your peers. Yeah, and my mother said, that's because I don't have many peers.
That's true, I suppose. Once you get to an age... My dad's friend is 93 this week, was 93 this week, and so he's trying to do catch up. Dad's only 88.
Oh, yeah, he's got some squeezing catch up to do there.
Oh, dear. Amazon Spring Sale is on. Did you know that?
Do you know I didn't? Not at all. Not a clue.
They have so many sales going on, don't they? But, yeah, it's worth a look. Just a quick mention. It's going on for a week from today for 7 days. So if there's anything you're kind of looking out for, dear listeners, now's a good time. Something scrummy from Ninja or Marshall or Sony.
It's basically a toothbrush sale. That's the way I see all these things. If you want an electric toothbrush, then otherwise don't bother.
Yeah.
You know what I did this week? And I just have to mention this. It just happened by chance because I had some time to kill and I was wandering in a shopping centre and I walked into Robert Dias. Do you remember Robert Dias, the ironmonger?
I do, yeah.
And they've grown somewhat. They're not just an ironmonger now. They tend to be... Well, there's, you know, the pound stores, what I call the crap shops. You go in and you look around the pound store and you know that anything you buy is going to last 5 minutes. And do you really want to even bother?
Yeah.
Robert Dias is a bit like that, but the products are of quality and you feel that something you buy from Robert Dias is going to last the test of time.
Right.
And it was just so wonderfully lovely. I didn't need anything. I didn't leave the shop with anything, but it was an absolute joy to walk around the shelves of Robert Dias and looking at, oh, that's fun. And oh, that's a clever gadget. No, I must mention this on Whatever Works. And oh, look at that. And it was just lovely to not be on Amazon or to be in a real Amazon where you could actually touch and feel and smell and carry and hold and look at the items properly. It was a real joy. If anybody's got a Robert Dias and half an hour to kill, just wander up and down and just have fun looking at stuff that you don't need but wish you wanted.
And usually, the one in Chichester, the shelves were always absolutely jam-packed. There was not an inch of space not used anywhere. And you kind of squeeze past people in the aisles because everything's so tightly packed together. It's very old-fashioned. And, good for Robert Dias for keeping going, I say.
Better before. Real shopping. Vive la analogue.
Indeed. Feedback from the show, I guess, will be the next thing. And, Alan Webb's rechargeable hot water bottle. I'm still struggling with this, I mentioned it on the show. I couldn't quite work out why you put this thing on. In the book, it says, charge for 15 minutes, I think it was, and you get 5 hours warmth. Anyway, it was just not really very warm. So, in the end, I wrote to the company, who actually, surprisingly, have got their headquarters in Stoke-on-Trent and not in Beijing. I'm a bit confused by the instructions as to how it charges and time frames, says I. The instructions seem to suggest that after 15 minutes it will be warm enough for 5 hours. But when the red light goes off, It's barely hot enough to do any good at all. I left the attached unit by accident, actually, to the main for about 3 or 4 hours. When I came back to it, it was actually really hot, but worryingly, it was also blown up like a balloon. So I kind of got a bit lost with the whole thing, really. So could you please let me know, I said, specifically what I'm supposed to do regarding charging and what to expect?
And you did a reply receive. Dear Baffled of Wales, it said. No. I have spoken to one of my colleagues who owns one of these appliances, and she has advised that when you charge it for 15 minutes, it only heats the appliance up slightly. To charge it fully normally takes between 60 and 90 minutes. I apologise for the inconvenience and for the incorrect information on our website. Kind regards, customer service. I find it amusing, Ted. I find it amusing that customer services only know this because one of their own has bought one and taken it home and used it. You'd expect customer service to know this without having to try it out for themselves.
You would, wouldn't you? And frankly, I still don't believe them, because if you leave it on charge more than the 15 minutes, the red light goes out. And then if you go back to it like an hour later, the red light might be on or it might not be on. And like I say, if you leave it there for about 3 or 4 hours, the chances are not only will it be blown up like a balloon, it might actually then be usably hot. Alan Webb brought this to the show, and it would be really interesting to hear again his experience of this, because it just doesn't seem hot enough to me, whatever you seem to do. And it's very, very hit and miss. And as you say, it's a bit discouraging that the customer services of the company just don't seem to know the answer, apart from the fact that this 60 to 90 minutes thing is not mentioned anywhere on Amazon or, as he said, on their website.
Tune in next week for the next episode in the continuing saga of the lukewarm water bottle. Simon Bates brings us Five Kind Hemp Active Gel. This is going back to me and my bad back, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Old fart cream, Simon calls it. He says, a timely post from me here, as both of our beloved hosts are suffering from backache and stiffness. Thank you, Simon. My family and I swear by this stuff, which we use on bad backs, strains and pulled muscles. It has a pleasant smell, a cold sensation, and you can feel it sink in as it's applied. It costs just under a tenner for 100 milliliter, so it's also cheap as chips.
Oh, right, OK. And posted in the MeWe group, John Tanzer jumped in as well and said he would like to add BioFreeze to the conversation. Real medicine that works wonders, he says. He uses the roll-on version, which is £30 for 3 times 100 mils. So it's about the same price as Simon's Five Kind Hemp Active Gel, I guess.
Yeah, I think all the prices are probably pretty much of a muchness much.
I seem to do pretty well if it's muscular with Deep Heat roll-on, which is about £4 for 50 mils. So for mil, it's about the same price. So maybe all of these things are quite good and you just kind of pays your money and takes your choice, and perhaps the active ingredients in all of them are all the same. Don't know.
I think probably very much so. But I know there's also a difference between heat and cold. Duh. Which really, Aidan, which you need for specific ailments. I mean, I know that I've been very much advised towards heat. So I'm with you, Ted, with the Deep Heat. And I also use hot patches, you know, the ones that once they encounter the air, once you open it, it becomes hot for several hours and you can slap it on. And they're fantastic because I can slap one of them on my back and it stays hot for literally 6 or 7 or 8 hours during the day. And I've just got constant heat. So, yeah, it depends whether you need heat or cold. But I think, as you say, yeah, they're all much of a muchness and they're all very good and should be used when necessary.
Indeed. Thank you, Simon. Thank you, John. We spoke about the Olight Batten 4 that on the last show, that thing that looks like a Zippo.
The torch inside a giant Zippo lighter. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, we decided to get something like this for a family birthday, but not quite that one because it was nearly £100. So we found this other one by the same company, the Olight 1R2 Pro. And it's a keychain torch, 180 lumens, twist switch, LED lights coming out the end of it, powered by a USB-C, rechargeable battery inside. It's basically a tiny pocket lamp. My brother-in-law and sister, who were the recipients of this, said that they went outside in the garden in the dark and they couldn't believe how bright this is. And this is a a tiny little thing about an inch and a half long on your keyring. They couldn't believe how bright it was and the range it covered. Then they went inside and turned all the lights off again. And again, they said a small room makes it look like there's a light on. So this thing costing 22 quid... clearly, I mean, I didn't try it before we sent it off to them, but it sounds like it's an amazing little device for such a tiny little thing.
I think it looks wonderful. I'm very, very tempted to click the button as we speak. It's currently £21.95. Yeah. I don't know if that's cheaper thanks to the Amazon sale. Yeah, this is basically the size and shape of a lipstick, isn't it? And it just fits to your keyring and is a torch. Sans Zippo. This time round, no Zippo involved.
No,
I like this, Ted. I like this very much. So, just speaking selfishly, personally, I think I want one, or you can buy me one for my birthday.
and it's apparently, according to my brother-in-law, it's really well made. It's, you know, metal and it's knurled, and it feels like a mag light. You know, that kind of quality.
Very, very nice, Ted. Yes, I want one of those. Here, I tell you what I also wanted, and you very kindly sent me. You talked on the show, I forget the name of it, and I don't have the URL anymore, but I'm sure you can fill in our listeners. You had a wonderful, very, very thin cleaning brush. It was a brush that was, I don't know, I mean, in old money, 5 or 6 inches, you know, 15, 16 centimetres long, but very, very thin. And you asked if I'd used it, and I hadn't when you asked me, but I have now, and I wanted to feed back and say, behind the tap, there's a slight space between the back of the tap and the sink, and I was able to scrape and clean very efficiently there. The birdcage outside, I was able to use it to clean in between the bars of my birdcage. In the car, there's a little tiny sort of a cavern, a little valley between two dashboard pieces that draw together, and there's dust down there, and I was able to scrape that out with it. Excellent. I see you've put the thing in our show notes about it so people will be able to find it. It was very, very useful, and I thank you very much, Ted. You have to buy three of them. It's the SXHYF, the cleaning brush. hard bristle cleaning brush. You get three of them in a packet, which is why you so kindly sent me one of them. And very efficient. Looks like a ninja knife. Looks like something you'd commit Harry Carey with. But very useful. Thank you indeed for sending it to me, Ted. I appreciate that.
One of the interesting things there is that this Chinese name has stylized the XF, whatever it's called, with the S and the X capitalized and the HYF lowercase.
I don't know what it is. Is it an alien company called? I mean, who knows?
Yeah, that's very funny. Right, okay, on to something more sensible. The Norbis Clip N1 portable Bluetooth speaker, which I also sent to my brother-in-law for his birthday.
Oh, excuse me, sorry, I was just yawning.
Because the different thing about this speaker, which I've never seen before on any other speaker, is that on the side of it, it's got a little beep mode thingy, and you can tap it, so you're listening to your music. It's a novelty, really, which is why it was a fun birthday present. It costs 27 quid now, but it didn't cost that before. It might be a bit cheaper now, I don't know.
22.84, Ted, spring sale.
Thanks, 22.84. So it's, again, according to my brother-in-law, it's just great fun. You're listening to the music, and you can, if you put the app on your phone, you can change the sound that the percussion
thing, yeah.
Yeah, the percussion beat mode thingy does, what sound it makes. But even laying aside that bit of fun and novelty, he said it's really good. 24 hours of playback time. It's got a clip on it, like a JBL one. IP68 waterproof. Sounds really good. If you've got two of them, you can pair them up. But anyway, again, you can get them in three colours as well, blue, black and pink. And he was delighted. He thought it was really, really good fun. And even if you ignore the little pad, it was still a really good little speaker.
You're bringing a lot of fun little stocking filler things to the show this week, Ted. Yeah, I mean, you could really, get on the bus or the tube and make a right nuisance of yourself with one of these, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Matthew Jones brings us a Parkside 12-volt cordless multi-purpose tool starter set. Now, these things intrigue me because I've never quite got my head around multi-purpose tools, but Matthew Jones has found one at a really good price, that being £24.99, so 25 quid. Matthew says, I'm not one of these guys that gets excited about power tools. Oh, I am, Matthew. But I've recently found a few jobs that need doing around the house, so needs must. I had seen my friend use one of these from a proper brand, DeWalt, I think it was, and was very impressed by how useful it was for cutting stuff on the fly. So when I saw this one, considerably cheaper, that is £25 versus £124, I decided it was worth a punt. And so far, I absolutely love it. It comes with a saw, a chisel, and a sanding head, and they all work brilliantly. Swapping attachments is a breeze, and the charger appears to be of decent quality. Not just a generic-looking black plug with an LED and a jack plug, but a branded dock with two colourful LEDs. I'm not sure if you can buy any more attachments, or even if the thing is universal, but even the three out of the box make it well worth the £25. Yeah, as I say, I've always been curious about multi-tools, so it's good to hear that this one does such a good job. And as you say, Matthew, if you can add other things to it, wonderful. And if you can't, not to worry, you've still got three fabulous tools for a very, very good price there. So good call. Parkside 12-volt cordless multi-purpose tool starter set.
Sadly, that link to the Lidl's page, as is typical for Lidl's, it doesn't go anywhere.
I remember I had to Google and find it elsewhere, yes.
Okay, well, try and find a link for that somewhere else then, because, yeah, Lidl's kind of have things for a week and then you never see them again, do you? So it needs to be bought somewhere else, presumably.
You only have a little opportunity to get it.
No!
Oh, dear, let's have a jingle.
Aha! After talking about radiator fans, DIY style.
Oh, yes, yes.
I think it was Mike. Who was it? Anyway, somebody was talking about it in a show recently. Someone has gone and found a ready-to-fit kit to do said job.
Can I just remind our listeners quickly that the job is putting fans on top of radiators in order to radiate the heat outwards. Sorry, Ted, do continue.
Yeah, not encourage people to get their scarves out and support radiators by being a fan. So, yeah, you put these things on top of your radiator and they basically throw the heat out so that it's more efficient, that hopefully the energy that is saved by the blowing around of the heat makes up for the energy that you use actually powering these
yes,
they reckon that overall you should save 22% on energy bills. How they work that out, I don't know, but easy to install, whisper quiet. Now this particular little trio set costs £110.
Ooh.
So yeah, it's a bit of an investment, I suppose.
You'd have to run your radiators for a long time to get that back, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I suppose so. But depends how keen you are on the whole thing. But
yes,
there are three in there, and I think that the inference is that you run it on three different radiators.
Yes,
so
yes.
Not too bad. Now, how are they powered? Oh, yeah, they're powered by the mains. So you've also got to make sure you're somewhere near a plug to plug it in, because that charger is a proprietary one. Clearly, it's not a USB-C or anything.
No, no, no.
So you'll need to do that. Anyway, yeah, you clip this to the top of the radiator. Now, I don't know how universal that is, but they're showing it as a kind of radiator top that looks very similar to my radiator top. So perhaps there is a universal thing going on.
It looks very similar to mine also, as I record this with you now. But yet the radiators that I bought are the Longini? DeLonghi. The DeLonghi radiators that I bought and talked about on the show are totally different, and these wouldn't have anything to do with them. So I guess they're different sizes and shapes.
Yeah, yeah. Your radiators are standalone.
That's
kind of
right,
freestanding.
Yeah.
These ones are, you know, bolted in
for standard
to a house.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah,
and I think that, as I say, that picture on there does look as though anyway, for anyone that is wanting to have a go at that, someone has bought that in my affiliate link setup, so thank you for doing that. £109.95, and I got 1% of that money by the affiliate link, so that was good. 92p that was. Which, you know, every little helps, I suppose.
And if you can feed back and let us know how you're getting on with them, and if you think they are working well, that would be fantastic.
In the meantime, anyone that wants to help out with a few pennies for me can do so by going to Amazon via my affiliate link and shopping just as you normally do. I don't know who's bought what, but I do know what's been bought. tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK, and I'll love you forever.
Me too.
Still using and still using.
I'm still using my loofah shower mat.
Oh, I remember. This was one of your sagas, getting a mat that worked well in your shower.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's really good. We were talking about this in September 23 on Whatever Works 192, and it's really good. It's been sat down there in the shower ever since. It's non-slip, anti-mould, which I can vouch for because I...
Because there's no mould on your feet.
Exactly. Or indeed underneath it, because I was... When I lifted it up the other day just to check to see what... you know, maybe there's some gunk underneath it, but no, there's not. It's as clean as a whistle underneath, and I never lift it up. I never do the decent thing and try and dry it out or anything. Just leave it down there. It's 40 centimetres by 60 centimetres. It's just right for someone, one person in the shower. If you're sharing a shower, you'll need two. And it works really well. It's £10.95, so nearly cheap as chips, and I'm still using it day in, day out. And no, that's not quite right, is it? I'm still using it every day.
Yeah. And tell me, is it? Do you feel good and safe and secure? You don't feel as if you're going to slip a tit any moment?
No, absolutely. It's completely solid on the ground. So whatever it's made of, this anti-slip stuff, is really good as well. It stays where you put it. And yeah, as I say, I never lift it up, and it works absolutely like a charm. Highly recommended, and I'm still using it.
Excelente.
One of the things about having my dad's got this Tassimo coffee machine, and every now and again you've got to put a tablet in there and clean it out, otherwise it won't work.
Yes.
He hasn't got the benefit of a Sage coffee machine like me.
Well, we have to put tablets in our Sage machines too, Ted.
Well, what I'm about to tell you will prevent you from having to do that again. Because this stuff you can buy from Amazon for £4.38 is just as good as tablets. You don't need to dissolve tablets. You just squirt this stuff in. There's 500 mils in it, which is good enough for 5 applications officially. But actually, you can make it more like 10. And these tablets are just horrible. They're messy, and you've got to wait for them to dissolve. We've been using this fluid stuff instead for yonks, and it's perfectly good. You don't need to be worrying about buying, particularly the price of the manufacturer's own tablets. Use this stuff. Link in the show notes. I guarantee it works beautifully.
Excellent. I couldn't disagree more. Before Chris Kelly writes to tell us, of the tablets I was thinking of are the tablets that clean the back flush, and we both have to use those tablets. But yeah, in terms of descaling, this looks great. I mean, I've currently been buying a stuff from Tesco that's a concentrate descaler, and I can't remember the name of it, but this is a cheaper one. I may move to this one. Thank you, sir.
Hurrah!
I got a new car. I don't know if I told you. I bought a new car not long ago.
Not again.
And I finally got round to, as I should have done a while back, as we all should have done a while back, putting in an emergency hammer, because you never know when you might just drive into a lake. I mean, I'm laughing, but it does happen. There are situations, it may not be a lake. You may just have a very nasty accident and find you can't open the door and need to get out. So an emergency hammer with which you can break the glass of your window is a very prudent, sensible thing to have in your car. I went for the AA one because I thought, well, that, you know, if you can't trust the AA, then what can you do? £7.90 bought me a chintzy little, very bright, and it's meant to be bright because you've got to be able to see it quickly in emergency, a sort of bright orangey reddy colour hammer. It's got a little blade. It's a very small hammer with which you can break windows. But also at the end of this short handle, there is a encased blade with which you can cut through a seatbelt if necessary.
Ah.
It comes with a little plastic thing that's the holder. And the idea is you screw the plastic thing somewhere inside your cockpit, and then you can put the hammer into the holder. In fact, I haven't done that because the central part between the two seats. You know, there's usually a lift-up section. And just in there, there's a lovely little space where I keep it. So I haven't had to use the attachment part. But there
Nobody
it is.
Nobody uses those.
No, probably not. Yeah, but then then if you don't use it, you've got to remember where it is. You've got to put it somewhere where you know that it's going to be there if you need it. Because the worst thing of all would be to be in the lake and then find that you can't find the hammer. And there you go. The last stupid mistake you ever make. So £7.90, AA emergency hammer. I think everybody should have one. Cheap as chips.
No, it's in the spring sale. It's £6.78.
Oh, there you go then. Now you've got
another
no
reason.
Excuse. Exactly.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, that looks really nice. I like the enclosed blade thingy that you cut through the seatbelt with. I was trying to think of some other use you could make for that. Cutting strips of Christmas wrapping paper.
Yeah,
or
there
something.
You go. If you... Although, in case anybody's thinking of doing that, I wouldn't advise it because you want to keep that blade as sharp and pristine and newsworthy as you can for the emergency when you need it.
That's true. I tell you one thing you could use it for, Slinky Link, is cutting the non-slip self-adhesive rubber that I have eventually found that helps on the back of mobile phones for me and my really, really slippery hands. Now, this stuff is supposed to be for keeping furniture in place. So you put it underneath your sofa that's sliding around a wooden floor or whatever. But I've used it to stick on the back of mobile phone cases, and it works beautifully well. It's really sticky rubber. I've been looking at for this kind of thing for so long. For £9 here, you get a roll of it, which is 4 inches wide and 40 inches long. So if you wanted it to keep your furniture in place, it does the job beautifully well. If you wanted to use it for any other non-sticky kind of purpose, you can. You peel the back off, and the sticky stuff is really strong. It sticks to anything, I think. Really, really good stuff. And as I say, I've been looking for something like that for a long time. The quest is over.
It does look good. 1.5 millimetres thick, which isn't too bad at all either. Thin, sticky back rubber. They'd love it on Blue Peter.
Yep.
I mean, they could make sex toys with it, couldn't they?
I want one of those.
I want, for no other reason than I want one, a Tofen surgical head torch. I took my mother to a medical consultation a while back, and... Why is that funny?
I've just seen the picture of the bloke with it on his head.
Oh, you've took to the... I thought it was the idea of me taking my mother to a medical consultation.
No.
This is a head torch. Now, we've talked about head torches on the show before. I have a bit of a head torch fetish, as does, I believe, I'm apologies if I'm wrong, Steve Litchfield, because he's brought head torches onto the show as well. I remember he brought a fantastic £6 one. I found one that I waxed very lyrical about a year or so ago, which I must bring on to still using, which is fantastic. And I saw this head torch, and while the chap was looking at my mother, I thought, "Ooh, I'm going to write it down." So I scribbled down the name of the head torch and then looked it up on the web. You can't even find out the price. There is no price on the website. The website gives you the opportunity to request a demo trial. So then I started looking for them second hand, and I can tell you that a second hand one on eBay is £400. God knows what it cost me. I mean, obviously, this is for surgeons. This is people performing life-saving operations. You cannot afford for the torch to drop off and land in the patients. This has got to be quality stuff. I mean, one thing I love about it is it's got hot-swap batteries. So it has two batteries. And when one battery goes flat, they're rechargeable. You pop the other one in, or your assistant nurse, obviously, pops the other one in, and you just swap across when there's no downtime at all. So, yeah, this is not something that I would need to go anywhere near. Why on earth would I want one? But I just love the idea. I'm sure that also the light itself must be absolutely pure, perfect, beautiful light. The Tofeln, T-O-F-F-E-L-N, surgical head torch, £400 second hand. Don't even want to know what it costs new.
Look at that. Look at that that knurly screw thing on the top of his head. It just looks so bizarre.
It does. Yeah, I mean, it's like the sort of head torch that you and I like, but on steroids with other knobs and buttons and tiles. I think that's why I like it, because it's vive la analogue. Knobs and buttons and dials and things you twist and things you poke and move around, you know. Great
Excellent.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, on the last show we were talking about fountain pens, as you may recall.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Ed House jumps in here and says he's been looking at digital writing instruments by that company that we mentioned, Lamy, L-A-M-Y.
Oh, yes.
Whatever works, having recently sparked my interest in fountain pens again, says Ed, I went window shopping on the Lamy website and find they do not only have Apple Pencil equivalent and an Android or Wacom EMR stylus, but it's also a two-in-one biro and EMR stylus pen that changes with a simple twist.
Okay, can I just make sure that I've got my head around this and the listeners? So this is not only a digital pen that causes digital writing on a tablet of some kind, but
device,
it also has a real life biro that you can flick between the two, analog and digital in the same input.
Yeah.
Oh, very clever. Please carry on.
Yeah. That was it, really. I want one of each, he says. He wants one for his Apple stuff and one for his Android stuff. It compatible with Galaxy stuff as well, the Android one, and I'm sure others. And I'd need a compatible Android Chrome tablet to try it with, he says. Anyway, the price of these things seem to be very reasonable, £49 to £69. So not outside of reach for some people, clearly.
Yes.
The digital writing instruments by Lamy. I'm going to call it Lamy. I'm sure someone will correct me.
Someone will say, not today, I'm too busy. Mrs. Don't. Yeah, very. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued with the binary. You can do either or both. That I think is great fun.
And they look very attractive too. I like the way that the pocket clip on the lid works. You know, it was just really nicely styled. Yeah, I'm all for this. Excellent.
Me too.
Better
before. I'm bringing something to the show that's just popped into my head. I'm not basing this on any study or revelation or new data or anything like that. It just occurred to me recently. I got a new car. I don't know if I told you I got a new car recently. I drive
not
electric
another one.
Now. I've got
How many cars have you got?
I've got a Polestar, which is an EV, all electric car, and I absolutely love it. Best car I ever drove, never mind owned.
You've never mentioned that before?
No, I haven't, have I? It's got me to thinking. For me, there is a fine line between assistive driving technology, which is what I wanted to bring on the show, and then sitting back and actually having a taxi driver. And that's a line that I don't ever want to cross. My car does assist me. It's got a few knobs. It's got a few gadgets. It's got a lane assist. It's got a speed assist, speed control, cruising control, automatic, which I find very useful. And some of the time that I'm driving, I use those to help me. What I find I don't like that's coming on the horizon is a car where you basically get in the car and like a taxi, you just get in the car and you program your sat nav, take me to Tesco, and then you sit back and read a book while your car takes you to Tesco. I don't like that. I don't want to get to the point where the technology is no longer assisting the driver, but the driver is assisting the technology. So really, my little rant was to say, for me personally, it was better before when you actually took part in your own drive and when you were the driver of the car. And when you no longer are the driver of the car, that's when I'm going to just get out and find an old banger and drive that home instead.
I totally disagree with you.
Well, that's what this show's about.
Getting into the back of a vehicle and just telling it where to take you while you get your newspaper out or whatever, or your tablet with your Lamy pen and do something else, and you just kind of get out when you get there is just fantastic. I was watching this film just yesterday where they were clearly doing that. They just, whenever they wanted to go anywhere, they just get into this thing and it takes them there and they can do something else while they're going. I think it's a fantastic idea. The person who would agree with you is my dad, who detests his car. He cannot stand his car because it's so full of gadgets and stuff. And he said he'd rather have a Morris Marina, frankly, because he just can't stand the fact that it's so automated. Even though it's not anything like you're describing, we haven't got to that stage yet. But I'm completely the other way around. I would much rather just have a vehicle that would take me while I do something else.
You see, I mean, I've always had the desire to learn to fly. I'm 60 years old now and I can't afford it and it's never going to happen. But even if somebody gifted me flying lessons now, I'd think twice because I'd probably be getting into the equivalent of an EV plane where they say this is the screen and this is how all the software works. And that's not what I would want. I would want to get into a plane that's got more knobs and buttons than you could shake a stick at and have to learn what they all do, because to me that's taking part in what you're doing. Otherwise, just hire a private plane and sit in the back and let someone else fly you.
From what I understand about aircraft these days, much of it, a lot of it is automated now. Obviously we've only got videos to go by and films and stuff, but it looks to me as though you just, you know, even taking off and landing can be automated. So you've got to wonder to yourself, well, what's the future for pilots as well?
Exactly. Well, there you are. I rest my case. What I would want. I want to take part, you know, and that's why I say in my car. Unlike your father, I do love all the knobs and all the gadgets and knobs and buttons and cars. It's all wonderful, but not 100% of the time.
I think it's all very clever, and I'm a bit wowed by seeing it. When I first drove my dad's car, this overtaking light, I couldn't believe. What on earth is that? Oh, it's telling you that someone's overtaking you, so don't open the door. Blimey, you know how things move on. I've not had a car for nearly 10 years now.
Oh yeah, I shouldn't admit this, but not that long ago on the motorway, I foolishly tried to pull out when I shouldn't have done, and my car wouldn't let me. The car sort of said, no, you can't do that, and kept me in the lane that I was in and alerted me to the fact that there was somebody coming up on my inside that I hadn't noticed. You know, so hands up, my fault, but the car saved the day. You know, so, yeah, you know, sometimes it's good.
I'll tell you what was better before is when people didn't whine about what was better before.
Ah, touche. No, you know what? I think I think people have always. I bet there were people sitting in caves saying, "Oh, it was much better when we lived out by the lake." You know?
Yeah, no doubt at all. Anyway, we don't often give better before an outing, but we have today.
Right, and talking of the past, oh, Slinky Link, see what I did there? See what I did there? Whatever.
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 Whatever. Whatever.
Whatever. Work.
Yes, I did. And whatever worked for me is the... I'm going to highlight a little fan as it's coming up to summer. Now, it's currently unavailable, unfortunately. I'm sure you can get it from somewhere else. But this was the little fan that my sister swears by. Do you remember I spoke about it before where it was going to cost more to get new batteries for it than to buy a new one?
I remember, yes.
Well, it's that one. But it's actually really, really good. And my sister swears by it. She thinks it's absolutely great. And, so I just thought I would highlight that.
A little USB-powered fan, yes? Tiny thing.
Yeah. No. Yeah, well, you charge it with a micro USB because it's so old. But inside it, it's got rechargeable batteries. These kind of strangely odd shape Sony 18500 or something, is it? Anyway, some sort of strange thing. Nice little fan if you can find one. They work really well. I'll come back to my other fan another day. And lastly, for me, would be the Sonya Bravia LED 43-inch TV that my dad is still enjoying. Got a beautiful picture. And, you know, 6 years on, it's still working absolutely fine. TVs don't tend to break much, do they? I think people upgrade their TVs when technology changes and they want the latest, newest, biggest thing. But yeah, you can keep a TV for so long. Talking of which, we're talking about the Whatever Works show 73, which was the next one we were on. I forgot to mention
that. I was
that.
Just going to tell you hadn't done the housekeeping.
And this was on the 5th of January, 2019. And you can tell Hazel, I'll tell her myself, Hazel, it was called Pampered Specs for some reason.
I could tell you in a moment why it was called Pampered Specs, in fact. Yeah. I just wanted to say, just going back to the TV, I'm with your dad there. We have a Bravia, or Bravia, or however it's pronounced, as our television before it was, and possibly even the one before that. We've been big Sony Bravia fans for years and years, and I totally agree with your father. Wonderful, wonderful picture.
Indeed.
I tell you why the show was called Pampered Specs, because one of the two items that I've picked was the Moko, M-O-K-O, glasses holder. This is a very nice little sort of, I don't know, how would you describe it? Sort of fur-lined tube on a stand that just sits on your desk and you pop your glasses in. I've got one in my studio. I've got one by my bed. They both get used every single day. Pop the glasses in, take them out, pop them in, take them out, and it keeps the glasses safe and clean when you're not wearing them and you know where they are.
Excellent.
So that's that. And the other thing that I spotted on this... that makes the glasses holder a still using as well as a whatever word.
Yeah, yeah.
As well as this one, which is the Immobilize Property Register. Now, this is a bit like insurance in that I can't tell you how good it is because I've never had cause to need to use it. But what it is it's a registry with the police. You register your property, everything from bicycles to glasses to wallets to tables and chairs, whatever you want to. You can register and you get little stickers to stick on it. Then they also do a... what do you call it? A sort of invisible marker that you can paint onto the thing in some hidden place and nobody knows it's there, but they can spot it later if necessary. So they're, you know, invisibly and indelibly marked for police recognition at a later date. As I say, I've never had to use them. So who knows? If I lost my camera lens and said, oh, I've got that registered with Immobilize, I'll call the police, it could be useless. But to the best of my knowledge, it's a working system and a lot of my things are registered with them. And it's a peace of mind to know that if anything does happen to any of my valuable objects, they are registered and I can hopefully get them back more quickly.
Excellent. Yeah, I do remember you talking about that. I haven't done it, but good for you.
I thank you. Daniel B brings us...
Hey! Hello, Daniel.
Daniel brings us US Bank. It's one of the American banks, presumably. Daniel says, my wife had a Denver Broncos bank card for 20 years. That's a bank card with a picture of the Denver Broncos on it. They cancelled that card design.
What's the Denver Broncos?
That's a sports team.
I don't know which sport, but it'll
certainly be an American sports team, I'm sure. They cancelled that card, he says. They cancelled that card design recently because they decided to stop paying the team for it. There you go.
Boo.
This is her favourite American football team. There you go. Just read on. American football team based in Denver, Colorado. It's terrible. And now they have two other teams' designs on their cards. I know it's a minor thing, but it's a tradition she had with her bank, which is no longer supported.
Yeah, you're right. It's a kind of first world problem, really. But I do remember back in the day, a long time ago, Abbey National, I had a debit card or a credit card or something with them, and I can't remember. But you could actually even send in your own photo to them, and they would make your card with whatever photo you wanted on it. And also choose from a kind of bunch of stock ones, I guess. I do remember this going on.
I remember too. I think Lloyd's I was with years ago, and I think they were doing it as well, and I chose the design. I do remember one of my very first credit cards was with Virgin many years ago. And you know you have to choose Mr., Mrs., Ms., Sir, and I chose Sir. Because I thought this would be fun. And I actually, they made it. And I had a bank card. I mean, I was about 16 or 17, you know, and it's Sir Aidan Bell, which I thought was a right giggle.
Yeah.
Anyway, going from childish lunacies to adult irritations, I think. I know I've brought this on the show before, but I had a really horrible experience yesterday in Sainsbury's. And it makes me just want to say one more time how much I hate hot air hand dryers in public toilets. I was stood at Sainsbury's in the toilet doing my business, and all of a sudden, this hand dryer came on behind me. And this blast of air hit me on my left side. Now, I'm standing. I can't, you know, I can't do anything because I am doing something and I'm not able to suddenly jump out of the way. And I just had to stand there with this waft of air, which was probably full of some other guy's germy hands, blowing into my face.
You could have moved.
I couldn't move without peeing on the floor. I hate those things with a passion. They are noisy, they're dirty, they're smelly. Anyway, there we are. I've said it before, so I'll shut up now and get back in my
They're not as dirty and horrible as those things you used to pull down bits of towel on. Remember those?
I do remember. Well, the towel, you always got a clean bit and then it got washed. I mean, you know.
Right, Philip Ray is next on internet-reliant smart home devices. We've just had our fibre internet connection down for about an hour here in Malaysia. All of my smart lights, CCTV, air conditioners and so on immediately dropped offline despite being visible on the local network. Luckily, not all the lights are connected, so I had some I could use during the outage. First world problem, as it might be, it is an indicator of how reliant we have become on third-party cloud systems for a lot of the Internet of Things system things to work properly. So room 101 for the dependency, I suppose, Philip's saying. Yes.
I certainly concur. And for me, it's not only the cloud stuff. Whenever we have an outage, I've got a lot of things that are on trip switches for safety. So whenever we have a power outage, I then have a checklist. I have to go around the house turning back on trip switches, resetting timers. Then there's the cooker. Then there's the microwave. It never ends. Even if we have a power cut lasts just a couple of seconds, it will trip a lot of stuff. So, yes, reliance not only on the cloud, but also on a constant supply of electricity, as Heathrow found out last week.
Did they? Oh, there was a fire, wasn't there? I'd forgotten all about that. You see, this is one of the downsides of not watching the news, because I had to think three times to remember what that was about.
Oh, let's just play a jingle and get on with it. Oh dear.
Yes. Right, I'm giving a... Oh, well, hang on a minute, we missed a bit there.
Come on, Ted, put your brain back in and carry on.
I'm going to give a gold star to Royal Mail Special Delivery again, but en route, I'm going to put them in room 101 too. So, I was having something sent to me from someone, and room 101, because some dipstick in the postal sorting department put my parcel on the wrong van.
Oh,
so it ended up in the wrong county somewhere at about 8 o'clock in the evening. But I'm going to give them a gold star because this is special delivery, so guaranteed next day. The gold star is because they realised the error, reported the error, so admitted it to me because I could see it on the tracking, and somehow turned it around and still got it back out for the next day for me, and it was delivered on schedule. Now, if people weren't looking at tracking, they would never have known there had been anything wrong. But I was very impressed with that because I when I first heard about the parcel being in the wrong van and in the wrong county, I just assumed that, oh bugger, that's going to be another day wait, I'm not going to get it tomorrow. But they turned it around and did it, so good for them.
Yeah, I mean, they've taken a lot of shtuck lately, not least of all because of this whole, you know, the post office scandal business. But I think they do a sterling job. So, yes, I agree. And a second gold star for you, Ted, for being such a good geek as to notice in the first place.
Oh, yeah. I'm a delivery fiend. As soon as I know something's coming, I'm on the tracking. Anyway, I guess that's about it, isn't it? I think we're done.
I think we
for
are
this
coming up on the
lovely
hour.
Episode. Yes, indeed. So we'll be back in a fortnight's time. Whateverworks.works is our website. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me. And links to all I do, including all the MeWe groups and all other audio podcasts I'm involved in. So, do head across there and find that. And, let us know whatever works in your life and we'll make even better shows than this one. Hard as that may sound.
The bar has not been set terribly high.
in the future weeks to come. And we'll be back in a fortnight or 3 weeks, depending on what content we've got available. So we'll see you then. Last word to you, as always, young Aidan.
Oh, thank you. Young being the operative word there, because I wanted to just say thank you, everybody, for your kind thoughts and words on my declining health and body. And I hope to be back in a couple of weeks. See what I did there.
And not knackered.
Yes.
So one last thing to say, as always, don't forget, I guess...
Whatever works, works! Except my voice there, it nearly went.
Your voice, your back, what else is wrong with you?